Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning again. The kind of spring day we all know and love. That's why we're in California. I hope you had your workout this morning. Hope you did something for your health. Hope your brain's in gear, because you're going to need it for today's show. Fasten your cerebral seatbelts. We're going to go after cancer today. A perspective. Mixing traditional with alternative approaches. The title of the show, Solutions to Cancer, Mixing Traditional with Alternative Approaches. 15 years in the war for me. Story after story after story, people diagnosed, people living, people dying, people accepting, people rejecting. Everybody gets affected by cancer, one way or the other, directly or indirectly. How do you approach it when it knocks on your door? I've got perspectives to share with you, new ones. I've done other shows on cancer before. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc, take a look at them. Today I want to go at it from a different angle. Maybe we've done 4 hours out of 190 shows. 4 hours is nothing. But if you listen hard and listen again, and again if you have to, I think I can get the essential perspective. Because that's what it comes down to. It's really easy when you get a diagnosis and you decide to go alternative. That's your decision. No one can take that away from you. It's really easy when you decide to go alternative to cancer. It's very easy to get lost in the labyrinth of therapies out there. Very, very confusing. You've got to take your PhD in oncology in 2 weeks to make a competent decision. And this is what people face, and this is the problem with it. And in lieu, if we were going to replace the frenzy of choices, the millions that are out there, right? Just go to Google, plug the word in, alternative approaches to cancer, and you'll get what? 50 gazillion hits, 50 million statements. Everybody claiming this is the way to go. This is, becomes the issue. How do you spend, when you get a diagnosis like cancer, your time, your money, and your energy? Now that's the Medici show. Let's get it down to the essences. Time, money, energy. You have three issues when it knocks on your door. How much time do you have? How much money do you have? And how much energy do you have? Now assuming that that's the priority, becomes a matter of how do we discern and navigate our way. So there's principles behind approaching cancer. Again, this is not the show about alternative versus traditional. This is not the show about why you should do alternative versus traditional. Just as many people die alternatively as traditionally. Nobody's got a monopoly on the cure here. Nobody really can even say they have the cure here. But what you can say is that amidst cancer, traditional and alternative, people do cure. People do go into remission, whether it's chemotherapy, surgery, radiation, or digestive enzymes. Whether it's the Rife machine, whether it's Brzezinski out of Texas, Gonzalez out of New York, Foresight out of Reno, Nevada, the Hallwang Clinic in Germany, Vogel, Jacobs, Ravici when he was around. I mean, everybody's got something to say and stories to tell, including myself, about people who've shown up with problems and have walked out cancer-free. What ties all this together? You see, we marginalize the argument to traditional versus alternative. And yet, when we look at the statistics, the fact remains that nobody's got a monopoly. Why? See, that's what we should be asking ourselves. Instead of spending all our energy trying to join forces with alternative, calling all the traditional guys quacks, and the traditional guys calling all the alternative guys quacks, we ought to be asking ourselves, why do things work when they work? Well, if you did that, then you'd look at it the way I do. I, if asked for counsel, advise people to do anything, anything. If you need chemo, you need chemo. If you need radiation, you need radiation. If you need surgery, you need surgery. If you need digestive enzymes, you need digestive enzymes. If you need the Rife machine, you need the Rife machine. What we should be spending our energy doing is getting educated so we can learn how to discern our way in the cancer maze. You know, see, if we did that, well, then we'd be looking at a whole different statistical set of outcomes. But this requires education, thus the show. Now, the public, of course, is either online at the slaughterhouse at Kaiser Permanente or listening to some holistic mystic pretend that he or she have helped or cured what they never helped or cured. Now, that's the reality against which, if we took a clear look at it, well, we could elevate both aspects. Case in point, most of the chemotherapy and radiation you're doing is overdone. In Germany, they say, it's not cancer that kills you. It's liver failure or renal failure. And where does liver and renal failure come from? The amount of chemo cocktails you're doing. Oh, that horrid chemo, you say. No, not that horrid chemo. Understand what chemotherapy is and why it's given to you. Understand how to utilize the upside, how to mitigate the downside, and perhaps then you can use traditional oncology in a way to help you. Perhaps then you can tell your oncologist where he's over the top. Specifically, they use too much. I'll give you an example. In the Hallwein Clinic in Germany, and again, what you're going to have to do today, you're going to have to constantly refresh your pictures. In other words, we got delayed today because of tech problems, and so all the pictures aren't up. Right now, you're looking at picture number 30 from picture number 1. I've got 30 pictures up. We have another 20 pictures coming. So I'm going to make references to pictures you might not see if you don't refresh your computer. That's F5 for many of you, or however you refresh your site. And you'll get the full 50 up as soon as they get up, which should be within the next 10, 15 minutes. At the Hallwein Clinic, which I have pictures of, but they're not up yet, in Germany, I've made reference to this before, one of the things I've seen them do, so I'm not talking because I read it in a book, I'm talking because I get on the phone with Kopic or Vogel or Jacobs or their secretaries, or I have clients of mine that I counsel to Germany to go there to get themselves helped, preferentially cured. The real stuff. Not quoting textbooks or imagining things that you read about from somebody else's story. You know, the real life experience stuff, the nitty-gritty that costs you hair. Point being, in Germany, I've seen them use much less chemo. Now, Patrick Quinlan, whose book you'll be looking at shortly, Beating Cancer with Nutrition. Patrick Quinlan, he's a registered dietitian. He works in the mainstream medical model. And he's one of those guys like me that would combine approaches. That doesn't going to get hung up over the differences between the two. Do one, not the other. No hang up about it. Do both. Learn to dispense with therapy intelligently. What he makes the claim, what I've seen happen in Germany, is if you get healthy, if you stay healthy, if you put some time, some money, and energy into getting your body healthy under supervised care, the oncologists can reduce the amount of chemo. Yeah, that's right. That's where the oncologists in America are over the top, because they don't believe in any of this alternative mumbo jumbo. So what they do is they poison you more than you need to be poisoned. Of course, for those of you new to the show, you may not know that the concept of chemo is that a cancer cell is much more metabolic than a regular normal cell. So it's going to eat more of everything. So if you feed the body a poison, the cancer cell uptakes it at many, many times the normal rate. So you're in a cost-benefit situation when you do chemo. Again, chemo's not localized. Chemo goes into your system, and the concept is, we're going to kill your cells, but we're going to kill more cancer cells than your cells. And on that basis, we're going to mitigate the effect of the growing metastasis or the growing tumor. Guess what? Chemotherapy works. Do not let somebody say chemotherapy does not work. That's an ignorant statement. What chemotherapy doesn't do is cure your cancer. Now, oncologists know this, but you see, that's not what you're going to be told. You, unfortunately, because of the medical system, and not because of the lack of diligence on the part of oncology, and not because they're bad people, but because the system is not perfect, you're not going to be told the reality that in many of these cancers, the chemotherapy is simply postponing your death. The cancer is going to come back. They expect it to come back. They don't bat an eyelid when it does come back, and therefore, since they're giving it to you, and since they don't see any viable alternative, they just do it. And in your mind, it's gone, because they tell you it's gone. What they don't tell you is it's coming back statistically very, very often. So they give you the chemo again when it comes back, and then they give you again when it comes back. And eventually, the toxicity of the drug overpowers the ability of your kidney and your liver to resist the oxidative stress that the poison puts on your cells. Now, I know those of you who have listened to my show before, and that's about 70% of you, you understand what I just said. Those of you who don't, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. You have to get to my website, straighttalk.cc. You have to listen to this show by looking at the pictures. If you don't, you still mystify me, because I don't know how you do it. I certainly couldn't understand my show without looking at the pictures. If you can, well, bravo to you. But as soon as you can, get the computer so you can join the 21st century and get on the site to look at the pictures. Please do that. If you're driving, of course, don't do that. So, what's wrong with chemo? Nothing, except it's not going to cure the cancer. It's going to shrink the tumors. It's going to kill the cancer, except that the cancer is going to come back. So it's not going to cure the cancer. It's going to kill the cancer temporarily. And by the time in the cost-benefit war you've run out of luck, your kidney and liver are dead. So the Germans say you don't die of cancer. You die of liver failure and renal failure as side effects from the drugs. So you buy time with these things. You buy time. If you have some massive tumor in your rectum preventing you from going to the bathroom or giving you nonstop diarrhea, if you've got some massive tumor in your brain crushing your optic nerve and you're about to go blind, unless somebody in the holistic community is going to say, do this and it's a done deal, 100% guaranteed, and no one will say that to you. No one will say that to you. No one in their right mind will say that to you. Unless someone can say that to you, you have to think very seriously then about shrinking that tumor. That's the gift of chemo. That's the gift of radiation. Radiation's better than chemo. Proton beam therapy, Hoag Hospital does it, right? For prostate cancer, for brain tumors. Proton beam is part of the growing technology that will direct the kill so you don't damage other cells. At least that's the idea. And the crude application of chemo with doctors who are idiots. And, you know, there's a great article in Forbes magazine. Chinese doctor from South Africa. His name escapes me. Shung, S-H-I-O-N-G, is part of his name. If I could reach over to the magazine, I'd see the full name right now. He's put $10 billion of investors' money, and I think a full billion of his own, into some megalithic enterprise to create better standardization of application of oncological therapy to cancer patients. Why? Because he found that every single time oncology goes after cancer, the variation is huge. Despite the state-of-the-art notion that once you get cancer, you're going to get the same stuff no matter where you go, when you go. From Cedars-Sinai to St. John's to Hoag, it's the same. It's not the same. The variation in therapy can be huge, and the outcomes can be very, very, very different. And I'm saying this to you because you have to understand, if you were going to go into it, like Quinlan is stating, if you were going to go into it and mitigate the downside, mitigate the downside to chemo and radiation, and you take the best of it, guess what? You've got what Holowang is doing in Germany. They're using less. Smart oncologists use less. By the time they find out what cocktail of chemotherapeutic drugs you respond to, you're half dead. And this is about the art of oncology. And this is what different oncologists on the high end are really and truly trying to come to terms with. Now, what tips the scales to minimize the amounts, if you even had an oncologist with the right mindset? Well, turn to picture number. We've got most of our pictures up now. My tech is amazing. Picture number 34. Picture number 34. Look at that. Beating cancer with nutrition. That's Beating Cancer with Nutrition by Patrick Quinlan. That's the book that's basically suggesting CRD is a registered dietitian. Those are the guys that are mainstream in the medical model. In other words, they're going after cancer as adjunctive to conventional therapy. So he's working as a nutritionist adjunctive to classic therapy. And that's what the book is about. Now, I don't know why this is so difficult for us to palate. It doesn't happen. We are either going one way or the other, and most people are going the traditional way with no nutrition. What you have in the nutritional community, pre-diagnosis, are a bunch of people all shaking hands and parading around screaming, I'd never do chemo, and I'd never do radiation, and I'd never do surgery. When they get the diagnosis, you watch 95% of them wilt. The minute they are up at night with pain because of a growing tumor, that's it for nutrition. Forget that. And don't think this decision occurs without resentment. It does. Because you got to think about your average person spending money on herbs and spending money on cleanses and spending money in nutrition. They're always surrounded by family members, usually the husband, definitely the relatives, undoubtedly the neighbors, who are telling them they're crazy and they're being ripped off and facaded and deluded. And, of course, when you're healthy, you can stand up. But the minute you get sick, you buckle. And then everyone's standing around you going, I told you so. And then, of course, that's forgiven because now we're playing for keeps here. And there you are. And we dispense with the nutrition. When that's the time, you should step on the gas. But you see, what you've deluded yourself into thinking at that point is that your level of health and the little bit of dough you spend each month on cleanses and this and that is going to protect you from that fateful day. And then you pay that price. And then you get discouraged. And then you buckle under. And then you get hacked in the allopathic classic model. You see, and that's the way it goes. Now, what this book is pointing out is you should be integrating from the beginning. I support that integration. I support that integration because I see it works. I am actively involved in these types of relationships all over the world. And on that basis, I have proofs. Proofs what? Proofs that when you do conventional therapy and your doctors tell you, I mean, think about this. I want you to consider this. When you do, those of you who have had cancer, those of you who have cancer now, those of you who will get cancer, those of you who have family members who are dying of it, those of you who have family members that have gotten through it, what are you always told? You're told, if you're lucky, you're told, you have a chance. We have a 60-40. We have a 50-50. We have a 20-80. We have an 80-20. We have no chance. Write your will. I mean, these are the things you're told. Who and what determines whether you're going to be in the good percentage? What determines that? You see, this is what oncology does not investigate. They only know, here's the therapy we're going to do, here's the statistics based upon the past, and hope that you're in the good percentage. If we could open our minds, if we could not be one way or the other, are you a conservative or are you a liberal? See, it's as if conservatives don't have valid points, and it's as if liberals don't have valid points. That's never true. Reality is always down the middle. And this cancer thing, this game we play with cancer, is a classic example of how you better have your mind wrapped around this concept that it's the gray zone that delivers the effect, not this absolute totalitarian militaristic viewpoint. So I can tell you that when you have a tumor in your rectum the size of a baseball and they hit it with radiation and the thing shrinks down by 70%, you've bought yourself time to prevent metastasis by getting healthy. See, nobody has the right to say, do this and we'll prevent metastasis. But what we do have the right to say is, take these things, do these health things, and your body will strengthen itself so the terrain, the internal system within you, will nail a cancer cell, metastatic and otherwise. That is valid. If holistic medicine had pursued these types of statements, there wouldn't be such a war. And who pays because of this war? You do. You're John Q. Public. What you don't understand is that both sides are valid. We should be supporting a finer integration of both. All right. Let's stop back. Let's tip back. Again, refresh your computer screen. Please refresh your computer screen. All right, let's go back. Solutions to Cancer, the Art of Mixing Traditional with Alternative Therapy. I'm going to take about 7 or 8 minutes now. Go to picture number one. We're talking about Hans Selye. Hans Selye wrote the book Stress of Life. Every stress leaves an indelible scar. That stress, what do we mean by stress? Emotional stress. Your divorce, your rape, your molestation, your depression, your suicidal thoughts, your disgusted feeling like you're 50 or 60 years old and your life's meant nothing, your loneliness. Emotional stress. Chemical stress. Chemical stress. You live in a toxic, polluted environment. Structural stress. Your muscles are short. Your organs are crushed together, clumped together in big lumps. Your blood is thick and clotty. You can't infuse or drain vital cells. Those cells will become dysplastic and ultimately anaplastic. Chemical stress. The stress that comes from adhesion, the body has turned to one mass of twisted, torqued, discombobulated fascia. Your massive adhesions, chemical stress, psychological stress, structural stress. This is what Sillay is saying. Every stress leaves an indelible scar, and the organism pays for its survival by becoming a little older. What is Sillay saying? Sillay, don't argue with Sillay. Your medical doctors aren't talking about Hans Sillay. Wrote The Stress of Life, 6 other books, 1,500 articles, absolute off-the-chart genius out of Canada. He did. Go to picture number 8. The stress meter. You're relaxed. You're coping. You're stressed. You have anxiety. You live with intermittent panic attacks. That is you before you got cancer. I will guarantee you that. Anybody you know, and if you're sitting there and you're going, that's not me, I don't relate to that. Let me tell you, it's in your subconscious and you're so messed up. You don't even realize. You've been numb for 20, 30, 40 years, and you don't even realize how stressed you are. You're beyond recognition of the part of you that once thrived. You don't even recognize yourself. This guy, Sillay, was not off. You can't get cancer without crossing the line from relaxed and coping well into stressed, more stressed, more stressed, and more stressed. Why? Now, what do we mean by stress? I already said it. Those four things will stress a cell to what? It will stress the cell to any one of a number of choices. One is apoptosis. Go to picture number, 18? 14. Picture 14. Go to picture 14. Apoptosis. It'll stress the cell to apoptosis, programmed cell death. That's what we're seeing with Parkinson's, with Alzheimer's. One day, Grandpa knows who he is. The next week, Grandpa doesn't know where he is, who he is or what he is. My husband, you know, he keeps losing his keys. Now he gets lost driving. We've got examples like this all over the place. People shaking, people quaking, people barely even able to remember their words. Try giving your average person directions that last more than maybe 3 steps. Go give somebody 8 steps directionally and then ask them what they ate for breakfast. And most people over the age of 60 will sit there and cry. That means your brain cells, they're not there anymore. They're dying. And they're dying rapidly because they've been so stressed chemically, emotionally, structurally, et al. That they're in some apoptotic state or on their way, or the cell will become not apoptotic, it will become senescent. It'll become senescent, like senile. Like the cell isn't quite, committing suicide, it's just taken another choice. The cell is simply sitting there, dumbfounded, in shock, not really doing anything. Look at picture number 20. Look at picture number 20 and go to the bottom there. Premature senescence. Senescence. You're looking at the word, senility. Being driven by oxidative stress. Now, we can spend the rest of our life, and I'm quoting now from the picture, understanding that starting with oxidative stress, we go to PPP2AC, to ATM, to P53 activation, to P21 activation, to premature senescence, and then in this case they're saying, now you've got emphysema. You realize that little clip there, that's a lifetime of research. And that's the problem. You've got massive numbers of researchers all over the world and the other worlds and every galaxy doing their little finite piece of work, spending their entire lifetime, but tying it together. See, this is where the rubber meets the road. Here's a page pointing out that oxidative stress leads to senescence. That should not be confusing you at this point. Oxidative stress, those stresses, chemical, psychological, structural, and adhesive, are all examples of oxidative stress. Those stresses generate oxygen compounds, whereupon the oxygen is electron deficient, as it tends to be, and since it's highly electronegative in an oxygen, in an electron deficient state, that compound led by oxygen is running around looking to pick your cell apart. Done. There's oxidation. And if you get hit with enough of that, that cell is going to go senescent or it's going to go apoptotic. So it's either going to go senile or start to kill itself in large numbers. Now, here's cancer. That's why I put you through this scenario. Here's cancer. Cancer's the point at which the cell says, it rages itself up on all fours and says, I'm not going to kill myself. I'm not going to go senile. I'm going to reincarnate myself. A tumor is a reincarnation relying upon embryonic factors that the placenta once endured. That's why your HCG, your human chorionic gonadotropin hormone, starts going up with what? The growth of tumors and during fetal development. During fetal development, you have cells that grow the placenta that depend on HCG to grow this tumor, which is effectively the placenta. That's Donald Kelly. That's really John Beard. Go to picture 24. This is Nick Gonzalez's book with Linda Isaacs. You know the Nick Gonzalez story, right? He interned with Donald Kelly, one of the great geniuses of this century. Nick is still in practice, active practice in New York City on 34th and 2nd. You're thinking alternatively, give his office a call. The trophoblast and the origins of cancer, one solution to the medical enigma of our time. On the money. We wouldn't be fighting this, nor should we be saying, well, great. Do those pancreatic enzymes, this is part of their therapy, and you'll get your cure. Forget all the other stuff. We shouldn't do that, nor should we ignore the trophoblastic origins of cancer. When you get sick with cancer, your house is broken down. Your windows have holes in them. You have bricks and mortar that need replacement. Your walls don't have paint. There are rats infesting the basement. The beams are moldy. They're wet. They smell. The house is about to fall down. If the wind blows too hard, it's done for you. That's how you get cancer. So we're just going to come in with one cure-all. Chemo, radiation, nutrition. That's it. You see, this is the mistake we're making. And we make the mistake out of fear. And the fear comes from ignorance. And ignorance is lack of knowledge. Thus the show. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. If you're out there swimming with complicated issues with your health, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. You will not get out of it unless you get hooked into a model that asks you to get educated. I ask you to get educated. If you're looking for quick fix medicine, okay, look elsewhere. Just keep strumming the YouTube, where everyone's going to be pumping their single bullet cure. The trophoblast and the origins of cancer. That cell will go under stress, oxidative stress. It will go senescent, it'll go apoptotic, or it will go anaplastic. Before it's anaplastic, it'll go dysplastic. Look at picture 19, picture number 19. Look at picture number 19, and then later on in your spare time, go to the bottom and see the YouTube clip I put on there explaining the difference between anaplasia and dysplasia, those of you with cervical cancer growing into the uterus, any of this kind of stuff. Before that cervical cell was anaplastic, meaning malignant, it was dysplastic. There's a difference. But what dysplasia pushing towards anaplasia means is that cell is saying, I'm not going to die, I'm not going to kill myself, but I'm going to morph into something new. I'm going to keep reproducing, only I'm going to reproduce now with no rhyme or reason. I'm going to reproduce without any control. My cell cycle, my mitotic cycle is going to go out of sequence, and instead of growing a bunch of mature cells to replace the dying cells, I'm going to morph into something monstrous. I am going to turn into a blob of insanity. To tell you, who's not listening to me, that you're out of control. I'm going to go out of control because you've given me no choice. I am a housewife that hasn't been listened to, that's been regularly beaten, that's been ignored, and now I'm going to grab the butcher knife and I'm going to go ballistic. And that is what your cancer is. Cancer is like a woman that hasn't been listened to too long and grabs the kitchen knife. You see? So cancer has been forced. Cancer is a normal cell that's been forced to anaplasia. And that's what John Beard was saying. That's what Donald Kelly was saying. That's what Nick Gonzalez was saying. Now, CLA was saying that stress that that woman with the butcher knife is under, those stresses are chemical, they are psycho-emotional, they are structural, and they are a function of not having adhesions worked out. Finally, that cell has no choice. There you go. Now, PERT, go to picture number 12. Those of you who listen every week, you're appreciating the integration here. Pat yourself on the back. I can go from CLA to Beard to Kelly to Gonzalez to PERT. The picture I didn't get up is Patrick Soon-Shiong, S-H-I-O-N-G. Check that name up. He was in Forbes magazine on September 29th, 2014, Medicine's Manhattan Project. The world's richest doctor is bankrolling a massive operation to cure cancer and fix American healthcare. And guess what? It's working. This is the cover of Forbes. I can surf the medical model for you, and you can understand me. That's why you listen to the show. There's PERT. There's Candace PERT. Picture number 12. Author of several books, including Molecules of Motion, PERT was saying this. PERT was saying the way you measure the rate at which CLA's stress is just drenching out of your body towards a healing is that the brain will produce and the body will produce more opiates, and you can feel those opiates measured as the blissful feeling that Eastern medicine calls chi, prana, you name it. We can say, in an Eastern sense, prana cures cancer. If you generate enough prana as you atomize your body, you will push enough of a magnetic field into that area to vanquish the tumor. See, we have a quandary here. I can make that statement, and 98% of the medical model is going to say that is absolute buffoonery. To which I will respond, it's buffoonery to you because you don't have the education. To which I will then turn to the holistic community and say, it's certainly a buffoon statement if you don't understand how to apply therapy to people. Then you reduce the high art of an energetic model to esoteric idiocy. And this happens too often. And so what you have on both sides of the fence are conservatives in classic allopathic forms who are listening to pedantic, delusional, energetic models on the other side of the fence. And both are incorrect. The extremism on both sides. If you want to be extreme, my suggestion to you is to be extreme as I'm extreme. To be extreme about extrapolating the essences of all the perspectives to create the Jeet Kune Do of healing. Meaning, do what's useful. by understanding why people stick so ardently to their claim. What is somebody in modern oncology sticking to his claim form? And before we go to you're evil, you're controlled by pharmaco, you're stupid, you're ignorant, you're machismo, before we go to these things, ask yourself why your oncologists think the way they do. Ask yourself why your holistic practitioners think the way they do. And if you can get objective about it, then you can perform the true integration. So Pert, Candace Pert, who discovered the opiate receptor in 1972 under Solomon Schneider, her mentor, one of the world's most eminent scientists, and to this day, Pert was effectively saying there's something about the opiate that counters the stress. Cialle is saying if you don't deal with the stress, you're going to force the cell to anaplasia. So when you have cancer, while you mitigate the effect of it with chemo, with radiation, with holistic medicine, you have to get to that point where you become chronic, because that's the point at which you start letting go of the garbage that so stressed the cell that you gave it no choice to force itself to anaplasia. You can't get around that. Now, the guy that understood this better than anybody was Reich. And if you go down to picture number 31, go to picture 31. Again, refresh your screen if you need to. Picture 31 talks about Reich's intellectual development and about opening people's meridians in the West. And then picture number 32, blow that one up, because in picture number 32, it's basically saying that at some point, Reich started getting involved with cancer because Reich, as he saw people letting go of their stress, he started to see healings of serious diseases like cancer. And he knew that this had a great deal to do with what he saw people do on his tables. And Reich was a practicing psychiatrist that would touch the body, something psychiatry today would never do. But Reich didn't care. He was so smart, he could break all the conventional rules. He was after cure. So there's that picture that I'm suggesting you take a look at now. Picture number 32. Picture number 32. Right-hand side, first paragraph. In a later book, The Cancer Biopathy, Reich again uses this schema to describe his orgone therapy. It was strictly biological therapy. And at this point, Reich understood that cancer was a matter of creative blockage, meaning that at the root of every tumor, before you're sending a cell into anaplasia, the psycho-spiritual you has morphed to the point where it's going insane, and it's going to employ last-ditch efforts to survive, to make itself reborn, because it is so creatively destroyed. So there's Reich, a psychiatrist, watching people blow out all sorts of emotional garbage through psychiatric and touch techniques that he devised under the tutelage at one point of Sigmund Freud. So these rocket scientists were the kings of their day. And where does Reich end up? With the argon box and in cancer therapy. So Reich is saying, until you have Candace Pert's opiate orgasm, until you get to that pleasure in your body, the net total of oxidative stress to your cell, focused in that part of your organ, is going to push itself ultimately towards an anaplastic cell. You'll move from dysplasia to anaplasia, from a cell that's swelling to a cell that just looks broken down to a cell that is hell-bent on reincarnating itself in the name of life. So cancer then becomes an adaptation. Cancer is a growth hell-bent on reinventing itself, only it doesn't succeed, or it costs you the you that you know and want to hang on to. Now, when you get diagnoses, you can go off to the Hallwine Clinic. You can go off to Nick Gonzalez. You can go off, look at Picture 35, Picture 35, World Without Cancer, the story of Laetril, vitamin B17. There's another big tool. And yet, the myopia is about, well, if we were doing B17, we would cure cancer. There's tons of ways to cure cancer, and they're all about B17 or pancreatic enzyme. You see? Or the Rife machine. Even to the point where, I think I put it here, Ramon Azago. Do we have that one up? Refresh your screen. Please keep that in mind. You want to keep refreshing the screen to make sure all the pictures have gotten up. Go down there to picture number 50. Boy, these pictures are great. Go down there to picture number 50. Cancer can be cured. There's Ramon Azago. He's some sort of a monk, a friar. And his aloe, he says, can cure cancer. It can be cured. There's Royal Rife, picture 49. Do the Rife machine, because it can be cured. There's Brzezinski, picture 47. Because he can cure it. You see? There's Dr. Forsythe, picture 46. The Forsythe anti-cancer diet, because he can cure it. There's the Hallwine Clinic. There's Dr. Kopich, picture number 39. There's Dr. Vogel, picture number 40. There's Dr. Jacobs, the overweight woman, picture 41. Because they can cure it. There's chemo. There's radiation, because they can put it in remission. There's surgery. We cut it out and it's gone. Why? If these things are working so well, are we still at war? And you get my point. You have to go underneath it all. You have to understand curing cancer as a threshold, a set of thresholds. Take picture number 42. Look at picture number 42. There's Farrah Fawcett, right? Charlie's Angels. There's Farrah Fawcett. Now there's Farrah Fawcett, picture number 43. I mean, I think Farrah Fawcett, right? She wasn't even 60. I don't know. She was barely 60 or 60, early 60. There's her, picture 42. She must, I guess, be in her 30s in that picture. There's her at 60, rectal cancer metastasized. She went to the Hallwine Clinic. It's a picture taken from the Hallwine Clinic. She went there. Those guys tried to save her. So where's the proof? Why spend the money at a place like the Hallwine Clinic? Why go to Dr. Forsythe? Brzezinski, do you know how expensive Brzezinski is? It's like $15,000 for the first week money order. They cash it before you even go. When you go into the alternative cancer sort of oncology system, you pay cash, and it's expensive. And that's competing with, well, picture 50. Ramon Azago saying, just drink this bottle of aloe because somebody named Sister Mary G, she cured her cancer. We've never met her. We're not showing you pictures of her. We're not going to give you her last name. We're definitely not going to tell you where she lived. But she cured it, take my word for it. And why do you think modern oncology sits there and laughs? At the same time, I will tell you that there are people out there that cure. And they cure without chemo, and they cure without radiation. The question is, who's who? Picture 45. Go to picture number 45. Don't you just love this show? Go find a show like this. Go find a show like this. Thank Kay Bright. Go find one. You won't. When are we going to stop kidding ourselves? Spending our money marketing out our solutions. instead of integrating it intelligently and making your money that way. That was the American way. Entrepreneurship had to make a real contribution. Picture 45, that's Peter Traherne. Look that name up. He's got a blog. I met that guy through a friend of mine who met him directly, personally, one summer ago. That's him with his kids. He's somewhere up in the Himalayas now. He had stage 4 rectal cancer. It was in a lot of organs. He ought to be dead. He went to the Holwang Clinic. He got educated. He fought. That's a man whose hand you shake because he beat it. That's a real story. There are other real stories. But he worked, and he will tell you what I'm telling you. There's no such thing as Holwang delivers the cure. Brzezinski delivers the cure. Rife delivers the cure. Yeah, you have things that accumulate, occur every now and then. I experienced one with someone with prostate cancer. Came in with prostate cancer, gave him the herbs, the cancer went away. So what? I don't cure prostate cancer. I don't treat prostate cancer. I can just tell you, I've seen people get healthy sometimes with tumors, and it went away. We don't know why. Most of the time, we have no clue. And sometimes it happens with very low investment. That's about God. God grants you that at times. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know if it's because you pray for it. It's because he gives it to you. For his reasons. Look at it that way. I'll tell you reality. Traherne earned it. I've seen people earn it. But they earn it not by, and here's my point, so you get my point, amidst all the points. It's not Rife or Zago or Brzezinski or Foresight. It's not the Holwang Clinic. It's not Donald Kelly, John Beard, Nick Gonzalez, Emmanuel Revice. It's not Laetril, B17. It's somebody that gets the essences of healing and uses these as tools, all funneled in. If I was going to make a contribution, I would say all funneled into what Reich is talking about, the chi experience. So now we can mitigate and destroy everything I've said today and say, oh, the chi thing, the chi experience. That's what it's about. Move chi to cure cancer. Don't do that. Don't make that mistake. What Reich is saying, what Siale is saying, what anyone that's seen a healing is saying, is that people's bodies begin to align physiologically, and you can measure the efficacy of that process as they experience what we are still at a loss to fully describe and use words like chi, prana, universal life force, the flow of the Holy Spirit. I don't care how you describe it. Make up your own name for it. But when you feel it, the circulation through the tumor site that you at one point never had, the awakening of energy into the site that at one time you were dissociated from, the coherent flow of something that feels like warm water, hot water through your body, consistently producing ecstatic states of bliss, as Pert is trying to point out. Then you've correctly used the amalgam of these holistic therapies to get your body to mount a response to the tumor and to the possibility of metastasis that we can call a cure. Do you follow that? Well, if you don't, then listen to the show again. Get on to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. Throw down the $25 for the subscription. Listen to it. Mull over it. If you're confused about anything, as always, 714-850-1007. Take advantage of this now. I won't be doing this too much longer. Truly. I have my own path. 714-850-1007. If you're confused and locked away with your sprains and your strains and your health concerns ranging from anything to anything, I will give you perspective so you understand how to use the model so you don't get lost in the labyrinth of illness, so that you can start to integrate effective therapy so your body can heal you. And that's the way you have to think. And that will include chemo sometimes. It will include radiation. It will include surgeries. If you've got a large tumor obstructing an organ system, a pancreatic tumor pressing into the bile duct, if you've got a liver tumor pressing into the portal vein, if you've got a brain tumor pressing into the optic nerve or some part of your brain that is causing you to convulse, you've got a massive immune system draw. And sometimes these tumors are so easily taken out. Yes, that taking those out, that'll enhance the possibility of metastasis. Who said that? Who said that? You take out a tumor, and what your body does then is it sends the available immune system cells to other sites to go after the metastasis. And again, everybody's different, and every situation is different. And that's why you have to get educated. So if you followed this show today, thank yourself, because you've gotten educated. If you haven't followed this show today and you have a headache, get on the website, straighttalk.cc, listen to it again. If you still have a headache, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. You give us a call down here, and we'll set your head on straight. Amen. We'll see you next week. Have a happy Sunday. Bye-bye.
Been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.